Who's one? We've already had quite a good time of worship. I'm going to try to pull it together now with some more information, some more things from the Word of God, some more testimonies. A few weeks ago, I brought a message on masquerading. I don't know if those of you who are here, talking about the stained glass masquerade and how we masquerade and pretend we're something we're not. And what's happened, I think, since that message that Reggie and I have seen is that people are now sharing some of their burdens here in the body. And so we can, as a group, as a body, minister to each other. Because if you're all the fine family, there's no ministry that needs to go on. We just move on like nothing's happened. So, that being said, there's a lot of people in our midst right now, in this group, in our circle of friends and family who have issues and stuff going on. Can I get a nod on that one? I mean, like Linda and I got like four different texts this morning before we came here from people who are, I'm not talking about just the cosmic stuff, I'm talking about desperation for people. So we really need to be connected to the cornerstone of Christ and the Word of God. So Jerry, if you could pull up Ephesians, we're going to start there. If you have your Bible and you want to use that, you can, but we are going to have it on the screen. Ephesians 2, 20 to 22 is kind of the basic part of this message that we want to focus on today. Rich, is that working?
Yep, you want to use that?
Yeah.
Good to have a little help.
Yeah.
I heard you saying, right?
We
need help from each other.
How's that? Is everybody okay? Okay, good. So I'm going to kind of actually start at 19. There's a, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple of the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together, become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And of course, as we do that and join together and rise to become a holy temple, then we are more effectively able to minister to each other in the midst of our pain and suffering in this world. So my message today is called Cornerstone. And I'm not an engineer. I pretend to be. I'm not a builder. I'm not a carpenter. I'm not a mechanic. I can help people who do that, but I'm not one of those. Fortunately, we have people who have different giftings that we can utilize so we can get things done spiritually and in the physical realm. So Dan Demur was a master stone builder, stone mason, whatever you want to call it. Back in the day, if you would drive down through Franconia Notch and see bridge abutments and you know, different things that are along the highway there, he built a lot of those, in fact, most of them. And then a good portion of 93, back in the day when he could pick up 300-pound slabs of granite and put them in place. So he was gonna speak, like kind of introduce this topic of cornerstone from a physical realm, but he's not feeling that well. So he sent this to me. It's very fine print. I'll see what I can do. Steve asked me if I would give a brief description of a cornerstone based on my experience as a master stone mason. Building a house in ancient times as compared to now are similar, but now they generally use concrete. To get the best cornerstone, you should mine them from a rock quarry with the most common rocks used in used from sandstone and limestone and even granite. The cornerstone would be delivered to where the house was to be built, and the stonemason would then finish prepping the cornerstone. That means making it as perfectly square as humanly possible by using hand tools such as hammers and special chisels. From there, the ground that the stone will be laid upon must be prepped to be a solid base, not sand or soft ground, because it will sooner than later sink. The mason will then set the stone in the perfect direction of which the building is supposed to face, because it will set the geographical location of that building. If it is not placed in the right direction with the correct elevation and being level, then every other stone from there on will not be right. And the farther away you go with the wall, the worse it becomes. It is vital to make sure you have the perfect cornerstone and you put it in the correct place, because it is the beginning of your foundation. So from a spiritual point of view, that's kind of what he's talking about towards the end there. I also have a friend, Billy Bedard, some of you might remember. He's also a builder, and he's a visible guy. He had a learning disability as a child, and so he would draw things. And so I don't have PowerPoint skills and all that stuff, but he just drew me this thing, and I know it's going to be difficult to see, but the cornerstone is here, and if it's not placed in the right way, then you go, instead of going 90 degrees, you go off in a different direction. So the further you go, the further away you are from God. So it needs to be square, perfectly lined up. So when you're done with the building, it's square. So Steve Northridge, who's my brother-in-law, is also a builder. And when we were building my little log cabin up on Chickawalope Road, every layer, we would measure diagonal. And at one point in time, we were 1/64 off, and he was like really worried about that. So a little straighten it up. But if you start at 1/64 and you keep going, it could be bigger in the end. So you have to get it right. You got to keep measuring. Some general definitions and statements about cornerstones in the physical realm, but think about it too in the spiritual realm. It's a stone laid for a structure with all other stones laid in reference to it. It marks a geographical location by orienting a building in a specific direction. It connects two walls. It's an intersection, one that unites the walls. The noun is a fundamental assumption from which something is developed or begins. Usually, but not always, a cornerstone is made from different, better, stronger, longer-lasting material than the rest of the wall or foundation. In my house, the old farmhouse, there was granite slabs. And they were taken out of a quarry up the road, the horses and chisels and all that, and the whole house was filled with granite slabs. And some of them are still there, but you tore some down, moved some out, and we put a foundation under there. It is an essential element, an edge, a corner, point of importance. Sometimes it is marked with like a date when it's been put down. Sometimes they'll put, what's the word I want, where they put?
Time capsule.
A time capsule, they might put things in there from that era when it was built, and then years later, if the building burns down or is torn down or whatever, you can go back there. Or you can even go back there and take out that information. 50 years ago, this is what was going on. Here's a drone reporter from that era or whatever. But its purpose is included. It's a strong symbol. If you start good, you start pure, solid, with proper, true, and straight measurements and dimensions. And as good carpenters will say, measure twice, cut once. I know there's some guys in here that know that, because I've done it the other way. It doesn't work. through proper planning, things will work out better, be more permanent, and you'll have to do less repairing later. Again, we're talking physical now, but think about this in the spiritual realm. I'm going to bring it back to that. And of course, since we are in church here on a Sunday morning, this cornerstone topic directly relates to Christ, who is our chief cornerstone. And remember, too, that Christ was a carpenter, so he knew a little bit about buildings and cornerstones and building, houses and furniture and all that, and also physical and spiritually related. The cornerstone is a reference point. That's our reference point. And things need to be square, plumb, and level. The elevation has to be based on sea level, should be a 90-degree angle, the right direction, perfectly aligned. All reference points refer back to the cornerstone. The items needed include a tape measure. Now, a tape measure from a spiritual point of view might be a standard. Come on. How about this as a standard?
Amen.
You know why the world is so messed up right now? Because they don't have a standard. They have their own emotional, intellectual standards, and they don't have this standard. And the further away you get from this, the further away you get from them.
That's right.
Like Billy Bedard helped me do a thing in my kitchen, because we had a lot of people at the house, and the kitchen's floor was kind of like sliding. So we went down there and we put some 2x12, genuine 2x12 inch beams in there. And he brought out his little laser level. I remember using a level where you just look through and you wind it up that well. You got a laser level with all these lines and all this stuff, and so you can line everything up perfect. So the laser level keeps us accountable. What you're building, it keeps you accountable so that you do get it right. If it's off a little bit, you make adjustments. Are you following the right path? Too high, too low? Are decisions you're making benefit you or not? And the cornerstone prevents us from basing all these things on emotions or shortcuts or whatever. And we'll talk about this a little bit later. So the ground must be prepared. Got to have a solid base. You can take the perfect cornerstone and put it in a swamp, and you're going to have issues. So it has to be prepared ahead of time. And the cornerstone and the ground that you put it all in, that all is kind of like a package deal. So if we could go to Psalm 61. This is what God is saying to his people. He's saying to us, God, hear my cry. Pay attention to my prayer. I call you from the ends of the earth when my heart is without strength. Lead me to a rock that is high above me. For you have been a refuge for me, a strong tower in the face of the enemy. I will live in your tent forever and take refuge under the shelter of your wings. Selah. God, you have heard my vows. You have given a heritage to those who fear your name. Add days to the king's life. May his years span many generations. So I just want to focus on just for a minute on verse 2. It says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock. Is your heart overwhelmed? Has it ever been overwhelming? If it is, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, a rock that is too high for me. Unwavering commitment to the Lord is a cornerstone of faith, and when we are positioned correctly on that perfect foundation, and the earlier the better, it took time, we had to go through a lot more stuff than we've done this earlier. It's much easier to focus more completely on him and avoid the schemes of the enemy and the sin that so easily entangles. I was talking to someone earlier today, and then they were sharing with me about how they kind of lost track of what was going on, in their lives, and they were discouraged and depressed and all that. And in fact, we just had that conversation just a few minutes before church started here. And she said, well, I needed to go back to the Lord. I was focused on the world, I was focused on my situation, I was going, dealing with this and dealing with that. I needed to bring it back to the Lord. And I do that. You get going on your own personal thing, and all of a sudden you want that. I'm doing this backwards. I need to get back. So I can focus better on what's going on. Joel 38, 4-7 really fit in. Very good with this whole thing about cornerstone. Find it, Jerry?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. I think Job and God were having kind of an intimate face-to-face discussion, I'll just put it that way. And Job was kind of complaining about some things. So God said to him, where were you when I established the earth? Where were we when he established the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who fixed this, its dimensions? Certainly you know. Who stretched the measuring line across it? What supports its foundations, or who laid its cornerstone? And it wasn't you or me, or it wasn't Joel. While the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. And so Joel gets kind of schooled, I guess you could say, by God regarding foundations and measurements. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you understand who set its measurements. Sometimes, like when I think of the big dig in Boston where they dug the tunnels and all that, and I go through these tunnels in Pennsylvania and different places, how did they do that? Men do that. Men and women do that. Engineers do that. They have a plan. It's sometimes hard to, like in Pittsburgh, we were there for a baseball trip one time, 47 bridges in Pittsburgh. 47 bridges in Pittsburgh. Those were designed and developed and built by people. But some of the things that God does is a whole different story. So what supports its foundations and who laid the cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted for joy, he did. Not us, he did. Isaiah 28:16-17. Therefore, the Lord God said, look, I have laid a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone. So he's talking about, like Dan DeMers was saying, you don't just grab a rock and put it in the corner. You it has to be prepared. It has to be the right texture, the right type. It has to be prepared perfectly. So this is a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. The one who believes will be unshakable. That's us. Do we believe? If we do believe, no matter what's going on, we'll be unshakable. And I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the mason's level. Hail will sweep away the false refuge, and water will flood your hiding place. So we're talking about measuring lines and levels and all that other stuff. It is a precious cornerstone that he has for us. It's safe to build on. Whoever believes need never be shaken. I will test you with the measuring line. That's the key of justice. And the plumb line of righteousness. For you guys that are builders, remember the plumb bob? Mm-hmm. They still use that?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a perfectly designed item that's on a string, and that will give you direction and straightness and all that. So from the Recovery Bible, there was a footnote with this particular scripture that said, the rulers of Jerusalem were in total denial as they thought they were in full control, without depending on God as the cornerstone. Do human beings do that now, today?
Yes.
Do we do that sometimes? Does the world do that all the time? We can be the same way with thinking. We can handle things in our lives with our addictions and dysfunctional behaviors. We can deal with it. We can take care of it. We can handle it. All we do is harm ourselves and those around us. We need to be connected to that cornerstone, and that will keep us going in the straight and narrow. So, some questions for you. Just think about this, ponder this. As I did this, as I was preparing this, and I'm thinking, boy, I didn't do too good on that one. But. So, are you securely and spiritually fastened on, standing on the solid rock of the cornerstone in your heart, in your soul, and your mind? And if so, does it reflect in your thoughts, in your words, and in your deeds? And we're human. Bev and I talked about it. We still falter, but if we're connected and anchored to that cornerstone, we can, even if we do stray, we can come back. We don't have that to come back to, we have nothing. Or are you tossed about by every wind of doctrine that blows into your midst? Are you caught up in the extreme emotional reactions to all that's going on around you? Because if you do, and if we do, and I do sometimes, we have trouble. Do you believe the lies of the enemy? Do you believe all the media outlets? Do you believe all of our political leaders down here in this country and all the stuff going on in the world? John Holt said it very well on April 9th in a message. He said, and I quote, "In Christ, you, we are moored to something solid."
Amen.
Not only are we moored to that and it's solid, but he will not let you go, or he won't let you down. We will. You know, whenever we're let down by God, it's not God that lets us down. We turn away from him. And he won't lead us astray. Great advice that we should follow. George Bernard Shaw had said something, he had written something that I saw the other day. It said, "Beware of false knowledge, because it's more dangerous than ignorance." And false knowledge appeals to your emotions, and so when you get emotional about stuff, you're not necessarily thinking straight. You're better off not knowing anything than knowing things that are false. And ignorance isn't too beneficial either. Michael, are you in the mix of those who normalize abnormality in the name of tolerance? Or are we going to fight for the truth and fight for what's right and fight for what's in this Bible? We need and we must be totally anchored to the cornerstone. Want to be a better committed Christian and more solidly secure to the cornerstone? You want to be? Think about that. Ask the Lord for that, because it's critical as we move into the days ahead. Lots of stuff is going on in our midst, and in our world, in our country, in our community, in our schools, in our government, all the way through. One of my favorite pastors is Adrian Rogers. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not. He passed away a few years ago, but he always had that kind of that deep voice. And he was very wise. And so he had some strong recommendations, you know, for me and for you to help us build that firm foundation beyond the first one, which obviously is accepting Christ in your life. But if you're not there, then you need to be there before you can start dealing with the cornerstones. So he said this, number one, follow Christ's example from scriptures, including Mark 12:30, which says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength." So follow Christ's example. We could probably stop there, and that would be not good. The second thing, he says, grow in wisdom. Study the Word of God. Deepen your understanding of your heart, soul, of His Word and His character. So grow in wisdom, and you don't do that by just wandering around. You do that by being in the Word, by listening to people, by communicating with each other. Grow in stature. It's time to mature, to be fit, and be purified. Romans 12:1 says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So grow in stature. Don't, you know, someone said one time, well, it's just the way we are. Now, how is it you put that yesterday? Who is now?
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Oh, well, it is what it is. You know, I can't. It's just the way I am. Sorry. Well, that doesn't measure up to what he says in the ministry. It's all about change. The fourth one, grow in favor with God. Matthew 6:6. With all of your soul, pray in private to your Father who is unseen. So grow in favor with God. And again, you grow in favor with someone by getting to know them intimately, getting to connect with them by listening to them, to their will and to their promises. The fifth one is grow in favor with man. As Christian men and women, as believers, as disciples of Christ, we have to grow in favor with man. That doesn't mean you do what the world's doing, but you set an example, as Christ did. Unconditional, unrestrained, undiluted service to others. You know, we talked about that last week, about we have to take care of each other, but we also got to take care of the people out there. And there's that balance. And we did that yesterday. We went and took care of other up and down. We did some work up there, and we've done that before. And it's just a good feeling to be able to like work together with, you know, your fellow believers. And I know you know, a lot of you people are doing that, but nobody even knows it. Spend time with people. Before the pandemic, I used to go to Dunkin' Donuts once a week and just sit with a bunch of people and just talk. Or out in the streets or wherever you're going. Speak to them with love. Keep them accountable with scripture through gentle admonishment, teaching truth. It's pretty hard to lose a debate when you're speaking truth. And it's also very difficult to forget what you said if you're speaking truth. You speak wise, you don't out, well, what did I say? I can't remember if I said that. But if you're speaking truth, you don't have to deal with that. Give them all you have. Time, talents, ideas, and everything else in the name of the Lord. Because I had to write some notes down with the music and stuff, because Crystal and Melinda and Reggie and I, we all communicated. I told them exactly what I was going to talk about. I said, this is what I want for songs. No, that didn't happen. And this morning the devotion said, Jonathan Kahn, no matter what's going on, keep walking, keep moving forward, keep pressing on, no matter what's going on. Keep loving and being faithful to God. Let Him lead you. Renew a right spirit within me. Renew a right, so if you're struggling right now, I mean, we do. Renew a right spirit within me. I shall not be moved. If you're anchored to that cornerstone, you will not be moved. You might be, slide over here a little bit, but you're always going to be anchored there. I can remember being on the USS Ponce and the anchor. The anchor's like, I don't know how many tons. But when that went down into the ocean and hit bottom, that ship was not going anywhere. That was a ship that was a pretty good sized ship. The anchor holds. Lawrence Cunning used to sang a song called The Anchor Holds. Matthew West, My Story, Your Glory. All I say and do, I point to you. All for you, not me. Just some basic little things that we can think about. I'm not going to get into this today, but there is also a capstone. There's a cornerstone and there's a capstone. And that's when things are complete. I know, like in colleges, I just read this the other day, that they have a capstone project, they call it, where they consolidate the final year of the college student's learning process with valuable hands-on experiences with their particular field to help them further develop them into well-prepared, well-rounded graduates ready for the workforce. And we'll talk about capstones another day, but think about that. When I was teaching while in school after I got out of the service, we visited a few schools, but we didn't student teach until the last semester. And so you go through, in my case, I went through 2.5 years of college, and some go through 3.5 years of college, and then they student teach, where you're actually in the classroom. I don't know if Heidi, was I student teaching Heidi when you were there? Or, I know Melinda was in high school when I was student teaching, but that's kind of the capstone. The problem with that is what happens if you find out, well, I guess I really don't like teaching. I've done 3.5 years of this, and I don't want to do that. So I think they changed it where you do a little bit more stuff at the beginning so you figure out what you want to do. But anyway, capstone is another thing we need to talk about. That's kind of like the finished product. But, Psalm 62, it seems funny that Psalm 61 and 62 both went kind of along with the whole cornerstone thing, but it says, I am at rest in God alone. Are you? Are you at rest in God alone? My salvation comes from Him, not from anybody or anything else. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will never be shaken. How long will you threaten a man? Will all of you attack as if he were a leaning wall or a tottering stone fence? They only plan to bring him down from his high position. They take pleasure in lying, they bless with their mouths, but they curse inwardly. Rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. Again, He alone is my rock and my salvation. Nothing else. Your job, your money, your cars, your family, your spouses, they are not the foundation. That's part of what God gives you, but He's the foundation. He's our refuge. And then finally, 1 Peter 2, 4 to 12. Coming to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but chosen and valuable to God. You yourselves, as living stones, are being built into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, look, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and valuable cornerstone, and the one who believes in Him will never be put to shame. For the honor is for you who believe, but for the unbelieving, the stone that the builders rejected, this one has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that trips them up. I don't want to stumble and be tripped up. They stumbled by disobeying the message. They were destined for this. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. He's talking about us here. A holy nation, a people for His possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and temporary residents to abstain from fleshly desires that war against you. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that in a case where they speak against you as those who do evil, they may, by observing your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. And it makes me think of that last part, makes me think of the other day we went to a library trustees meeting in Berlin. And they, like it was interesting, there were nine people there in addition to the trustees. Of those nine people, eight were from the Word of God Church. And one was from Berlin. There were two people from Berlin, four people from Rhinelander, and a couple of people from Randolph and one from Gordon at the Berlin Public Library. But we spoke truth. It was not because we didn't have, you know, like conflicts or anything, we just spoke the truth. And we were kind and gentle, but I would say firm. And now it's kind of on them. So, you know, can you go back to that, Jerry, real quick, that last one? So I kind of spoke about that earlier, just that, you know, we need to have favor with people, but we have to do that in the right way. If you go in swinging a club and you know, yelling and all emotional and everything about it, it's something that's going on in the world and just going to create more problems. But you do have to state the truth. So it says, so that in a case where they speak against you as those who do evil, they may, by observing your good works, look at you and say, wow, glorify God in your visitation. So with all the pressures, all the stress, all the disappointments that happen in life and in this world, it shouldn't and it can't make us budge and lose it. When you trust the rock, the cornerstone on which you stand. And the song that the worship team played, If the Lord Builds a House, I'm going to quote someone. If I built up my own name, but the walls couldn't stand. I trusted my own strength, but it was sinking sand. So I put my ruins into your hands, into his hands, and watched to restore them like only you can. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. When it's built on his name, there's nothing that's going to shake this ground. If the Lord builds a house, nobody can tear it down. So I just pray that the Lord, I pray that everybody in this room and anyone listening on Zoom or people who might listen to this later would put their total trust and hope and everything else on you, on the cornerstone. That it will be built up by you, and therefore no one can tear it down. The world can't tear it down. The enemy can't tear it down. Stuff going on in our lives cannot tear it down. Yeah, we'll have to deal with stuff in our lives. It's not good sometimes. It's stressful, and it can be damaging. But because we have our trust in you, and we stand on the solid rock, we will never be shaken. We might get a little nervous once in a while, but we will not be shaken because you are the chief builder. We thank you for that. We thank you for you being there for us being anchored to your cornerstone, to you, Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, and to the Father in heaven. We thank you, and all these things we pray in Jesus' name.